Mr. Clifford on the line.
Okay, one moment, please.
How are you this morning?
Is this the president?
Yes.
Oh, God, you sound wonderful. Your voice is firm. I'm well, and the reports are excellent, and I'm comfortable and tranquil.
Well, that's good. We had an amazing crowd yesterday, just as far as you could see, and just more enthusiasm at places like Riverside and San Diego and San Bernardino. We had more people than I had in the town, and just blocks of them and acres of them. We got in a little trouble last night that may be serious and maybe a kind of a major blooper. At least it's going to be played that way.
Right.
And it's something I think, I called Nick Katzenbach in the early hours of the morning. I didn't want to wake you with it. But I thought you ought to be thinking about it and seeing how we could handle it. I don't know if we have any real expert in handling matters with the press. It can be a very live matter or a very dead one, depending on the way they handle it. The crowd here got very agitated about it, and they were all a little bit drunk. They'd been going pretty fast, pretty hard. You know what the press boys do late in the evening. I didn't see them, but they concerned George, who doesn't get very concerned. Uh-huh. And they upset Jack, who does get concerned. And they got some others worked up. When we got off of the plane at San Diego, there's a compound where they have newspaper people. Of course, that's where Herb Klein, Nixon boys, run the paper, a very mean paper. And they had a number of radio and television people there, and as they do, they always ask you questions. How's the campaign going? How'd you like today? What do you think about things? What do you think about the Chinese bomb? Or what do you think about the new Labor government? Or whatever it is they ask.
Right.
One of the questions was, it's been charged that there's a cloud over the Capitol and that there's a lack of morality under your administration in the White House.
Right.
And I was very calm and very friendly and in a very gay mood and no harshness and no impetuosity or impulsiveness in my voice. But I said, well, you do have distressing things happen to you. Every president has those. When you receive information that the acts of someone have created a problem, you try to verify that and take action on it. I said I was out of town. They specifically mentioned Walter when I heard of this. And within the hour, they say within hours, but I said within the hour, I talked to some of my staff members, got further information on it, and he resigned. Now, I think the basic question is, not that these things happen in a government of 3 million people, because all of them have different performances, and practically every administration has had something distressing develop. But the basic question is, how do you handle it when it does develop?
Good.
Do you ignore it? Do you forget it? Do you justify it? Or do you take proper action? I said President Roosevelt had problems like this. I said President Truman had problems like this. President Eisenhower had problems like this, and this is a mistake, involving very much like this, involving an appointment secretary. And I had this problem. So what I did when I heard about it was to get the resignation and turn it over to an impartial agency to investigate. It's something that everybody has confidence in, the FBI. And if any law is violated, the individual involved will be held strictly accountable. Now, that's all I know to do. And then as these things come up, that's the way I proposed to handle them. And it was accepted. It seems that Peter Lissagore, who's a friend of mine from the Chicago Daily News, overheard it. It was a little station. And he became incensed that I might be talking about a guy named Shanley who is running for the Senate. And I might be guilty of slander because Shanley is in a campaign in New Jersey. So he got a hold of Phil Potter, who's another real good friend of mine. And Phil said, this guy Johnson's 56 years old, and this is the biggest blooper that I ever heard him pull. He got a couple of drinks. Then this little Doug Kiker, the Herald Tribune, who's always upset, he said the other day, said, I've got to report his news from 9 November, but said, by God, heavy rests his head for the next 4 years, because I'm really after him. He used to be a Peace Corps boy, and he's a boy at Bill Moyer, you know.
Right.
So he got stirred up. Then Mike O'Neill of the New York News. So it became the great blooper, the unthinkable era, the personal indictment and reflection on poor President Eisenhower, and the outrageous conduct toward perhaps a man who is in a race for the Senate, so on and so forth. I called Katzenbach, and I had no one in mind in Truman's administration. I could have referred to Harry Dexter White or Roosevelt to some of the folks he had problems with, like Sumner Wells, or in Eisenhower's administration, Sherman Adams, or to Harold Talbot, or to this fellow Stevens. I had no particular one in mind, no particular act, and no particular president. Although the script looks like that you're really kind of singling Ike out because you say, well, in Ike's administration, a similar thing happened, but we didn't say anything about it. We felt sorry about it. We didn't make political capital out of it. Because we didn't think that they were responsible. I went ahead and further added that. That was another point I made, that we didn't degenerate to that level. Now, I have forgotten, but one of the first things that Kennedy called me in on was whether or not to indict Eisenhower's appointment secretary. I don't remember what it was about. I don't remember who it was. I'm inclined to believe that it was Stevens. He left a while, then he came back, then he left. Nick remembers that they had some problem with him, and he thinks it's Stevens instead of Shanley. Of course, I hope it is, because Stevens is not a candidate, and this would not be regarded as a low blow toward a candidate that's running against a Democratic senator in New Jersey. So the record, you ought to talk to him as quickly as you can and see if that is what it shows, number one.
I meant that. Talk to whom, Mr. President?
Katzenbach.
All right.
Because he has all those FBI files. I know it was won, and I know it was serious, and I know it was concluded. I think if you don't do it there, you can call Ken O'Donnell immediately. I think first man I'd call is Ken O'Donnell.
I know that story, Mr. President. It was Stevens.
Yeah, what was the story?
I sat in on some meetings on that.
What was the story?
It was a very definite and severe conflict of interest.
Huh?
He was taking some, participating in fees received by his firm, which I think was a public relations firm or a law firm, and he was making phone calls in behalf of a company that was paying either his law firm or his public relations firm substantial fees.
Mm.
He was furthering their interest by making phone calls from the White House.
All right, that answers. Now, the second thing we need to do, we need to really look so we know, not that we say, but to just so that we know from our own standpoint, the situation with Arthur Vandenberg. I think I read a report that referred to it. It may have been an FBI report or it may have been some letter. That he had this same problem Walter had.
Right.
And that he was selected right after the November campaign. That he worked on a task force of some kind. That in January, he was named to the old Matt Connelly, Ken O'Donnell job.
Right.
That he served there until April.
Mm-hmm.
That based on the FBI, they did not give him clearance. And he left. Now those two things I think are important. The third thing I think, one, get the facts on Shanley, one, two, get the facts on Vandenberg. Of course we know them on Talbot and Humphrey and the rest of them. But the third thing is, we want it to die and we don't want to revive it and we don't want to be debating Walter Jenkins with them. And I guess the best thing to do is when they ask you is just say, no comment. It's pretty difficult to do, but it's easier than explaining these things and getting involved. The third thing to do is how do we make it clear that we're not singling out Ike or singling out any individual, that we're talking about the problem and the principle and not the personality.
My reaction to that is that as of now, in these closing days, anything more said about it probably just exacerbates the situation.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But how do we explain to these folks that are really hot under the collar? Just pay no attention to them?
I think that my comment covers that, Mr. President. I think that once you start to explain, that it just leads to more difficulty. Now, the fact of the matter is, every newspaper man in Washington during the beginning of the Eisenhower administration knew of this incident and knew whom it involved because this young man had a famous name, he was well liked, and it was a great shock, just like in this last incident when this information came out. So they all know to whom